Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and well, we're back. The weekend is over, and a lot of good football games if you're a fan. A lot of excitement, a lot of crazy stuff, and unfortunately, a lot of crazy injuries as well. And you know, but not any crazier than the overall markets. I think that we saw last week that it's really about the money. Nothing else really matters. I think that is something that you know, we should start to understand and recognize that nobody cares that North Korea is going crazy. Nobody cares about the terrorist attacks. That all they care about is that they can make more money. And of course, the greed factor is in full bloom. I think that when you look at this overall picture, you know, you're certainly setting it up for a major catastrophe. Once again, and I think that will be, you know, coming. But again, as we look at it, you know, nobody cares about the major debt that we have here. I mean, you would call this a debt crisis, $20 trillion and growing at $1 trillion a year with no way out. Okay. And of course, that has a lot to do with our great friends from the Federal Reserve that continue to print money and put things together that create, I think, a much bigger problem that will eventually have to resolve itself. And, you know, like everything else, it will resolve itself. I think that this is the World War II. This is the second longest rally and one of the biggest bull markets ever. You know, what does it mean? Well, we'll see what it means. You know, again, markets don't change. This time is not going to be different. We are going to see a market sell-off at some point. Now, you know, when is that point? Well, that's the question. Nobody really knows. And you know, what you have to look for is for opportunities that create opportunities, okay, selling opportunities. You know, you look for a spot and you say, okay, I'm going to step in here, but be prepared that if you're wrong, then you have to get out and come back and be ready to go again, okay? And that's how you can try to play it, or you can just kind of wait. Remember, when the sell-off does come, we still have the dip buyers buying anyways. So it's not going to go down in one day. It's going to be a reversal of fortunes when it happens. The markets are going to go into corrective territory. Now, again, when? Nobody knows. All right? That would be, if I said I could tell you when, that would be just ridiculous of me to even think about telling you that, because I can't. All right? I don't know. I wish that I did. But that's something that we can't define. We can look at levels and look for opportunity. But, you know, the overall market breadth is not very good. And some of the stocks you're already seeing that have started some corrective to action. But, you know, we've got the Fed this week. And what will they say? You know, not much, I'm sure. But it will sound interesting. All right. You look at, you know, the growth model, and there is no growth. There just isn't. All right. You can tell me there is, but it's obvious. I can see there's not. Real wages continue to fall, even though they tell us that they're going higher. But real wages and compared to real expenses, you know, are a joke. Healthcare is a joke. So here we are, you know, in the same story we've been for quite a while, looking for that potential market to sell off. And my words to you are, look, we may or may not sell off soon, but I would be very careful about the new money that I'm putting into the market unless I'm willing to sit and hold. If I'm somebody who's not going to get panicked by a market meltdown, if I'm someone who's not going to be disturbed by a sell-off, then certainly I can sit back and wait. I can go ahead and continue to buy, because we also know that, yes, the market will correct, but we know that the markets will also go up, you know, over the next 10 years. You know, yes, they will. Over the next two, I don't know. And the numbers are simple, 9% approximately year over year, just not every year. So if you're someone who's not going to be spooked, or if you're hedging like we do, then you can continue to buy. Certainly I'm buying. I buy every month. All right. And I hate it, but I'm not going to try to tell you that that's the end. But of course, because I hedge my portfolio using options and I use my model, I don't have to worry about it. I'm not concerned. In fact, even more so am I looking for that correction, because at the end of the day, if it comes, then I'm going to be able to buy even more. And that is how you grow and you compound the wealth of your portfolio, is by being able to compound it and not trying to pick tops and bottoms, which we don't want to do, because it's a relative impossibility. So our job and objective is to sit back and look for opportunities. And again, so again, if you're somebody who buys, then go ahead and buy. Don't worry about it. As long as you're not going to be panicked out. The problem, what's going to be created here, is that the world of the margin people, the people that are buying stock they can't afford, money they don't have on margin, they're going to puke. Okay, when? I don't know. But it's right now too easy to make money, basically, the way everybody thinks about it, because everybody thinks, well, the market goes up every day. So, I mean, last week was the biggest up week of the year. Now, it certainly didn't feel like it, but that's what it was. So if you continue, you know, to try to press in on leverage and on margin, you could face some very serious problems, because you have to make a decision. But again, this goes back to those of you who don't panic and don't puke out, then you can continue to buy. I would prefer being hedged, and then I mean, you have to think about it. But again, either way, that would be the model that we'd be playing, and what we'd be looking for is for the ability for the markets to continue to go higher, all right, over time. And that's really, now again, overall the picture looks very murky, very ugly. Things don't look good, and of course there should be a showdown in North Korea, and I think Russia somewhere involved in this as well. So I think these are things that need to be looked at, and things that are going to be probably problematic in my eyes. Okay. In the meantime, we are being brought to you today by BarkBox, and that's BarkBox.com. To get one free month, you go to GetBarkBox.com/The Bubba Show. Again, that's GetBarkBox.com/The Bubba Show. That's for your dogs to deliver treats and toys right to the house once a month. And you can get a free month by going to GetBarkBox.com/The Bubba Show. In the meantime, don't forget about LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And if for you handicappers, the Sporting Edge, I think the boys are 15-1 in college football so far this year. So make sure you check that out. And don't forget about Bubba's Bottom Line once a week, and Bubba's daily updates every day after the close, which are available to you at BubbaTrading.com. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we'll be back with Jane King after the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with Jane. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Jane King, LMX Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and she always brings good things to The Bubba Show and good things to life. Jane King, what's up?
Hey, Todd. Oh, just another week and more interesting events happening. I mean, you know, what's the saying? That you live in interesting times, and we certainly are.
Yes, we are. And once again, North Korea decided to shoot off some missiles. What do you think?
Well, you know, I heard something interesting over the past couple of weeks about this whole North Korea situation. So I heard a lot of people coming out and saying, for the first time that I can recall, well, we haven't exhausted all of our non-military solutions yet. And I was like, what? I mean, why have we not done that? So I was surprised there was still additional pressure that we could put on China. Like, we hadn't really done anything serious with them and their banks. And, you know, we had the president this week and not allowing that Lattice semiconductor a deal to go through with the Chinese company wanting to buy them. I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of that, and maybe that is finally going to change things. But I just couldn't quite understand why we had gotten to this point and there were still options on the table. Seems like those should have been done a year or two ago or even earlier.
Now, you know, everybody's, not everybody, but people say that, well, you know, we don't want to piss off China because they're our biggest debt holder. And I go, what are they going to do? Are they going to foreclose? I mean, you know, I believe that we should make China step up and handle this whole situation, because otherwise, I mean, they're the ones who are in control, and they're probably loving the fact that we're involved in this mess to begin with.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, you know, China's a huge country. This is a mess. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But I think in the end, when all is said and done, they need us more than we need them, even though they do hold a lot of our debt. But I think we're going to be able to come up with some kind of resolution where China is going to do something about this.
Let's hope so, because obviously, you know, they're wacky enough to do something stupid, right? I mean, you know, this guy's got no feel for anything. He just, you know, anybody who says he wants to, what do you want to turn the United States into? What? I don't know, a puddle of water or something like that.
Oh, darkness and ashes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was reassuring. I mean, I think he's just, you know, he's just thumbing his nose at everybody. He's like, you know, I thought, you know, and nothing against Steve Bannon. I think he's got a lot of really interesting ideas and certainly a different way to think about things than what we've heard over the past 2 decades or so. But when he gave that interview and he said something like there's no military option there, I was like, boy, he probably shouldn't have said that publicly, because I felt like after he said that, that's when North Korea kind of started doing his missile test again. And so, you know, but it is what it is. And I just think that we just continue to really put some pressure on China. China wants to be wealthy. They want their leadership to stay in power. The friend who works in the intelligence agencies, he's like, look, as long as the party's in power, they're happy. They want to keep that all intact, and they're going to do what they can to keep that intact. And, I mean, what do they get from North Korea? I mean, probably not a whole lot. So I think they're going to weigh their options and decide it's going to be best to put some pressure on them.
And then what did you think about your senator and, of course, the minority leader having dinner with Donald Trump? And everybody made such a big deal about it. I mean, did you think it was a big deal? I thought it was fine. I don't have a problem with it. Do you?
No, I don't. I think people are like finally relieved that there's something getting done. I mean, we've had gridlock for so long. And meanwhile, like, everybody's just kind of sitting around and waiting for, you know, tax reform so businesses can improve. And, you know, I'm frustrated with, you know, some of the, like, the Freedom Caucus groups that they're just, so I understand they got elected on a certain platform, but you have to give a little. I mean, you've got hundreds of people all trying to negotiate with different interests. And we just cannot, like, people can't have their way. I mean, they're just being, I think, too greedy. In terms of what they want, they're not, you know, as a guy on TV yesterday, like, well, I'm not going to compromise on this. I'm not going to compromise on this. And I'm not going to compromise on this. But we all need to get together and work together. And I'm like, well, you just said 3 times you weren't going to compromise on things. So, you know, we have to come up with some kind of solution. We need tax reform. It's desperately needed. We need to fix immigration. I mean, there's so many huge problems that we have in the country that have really developed over the years because people have been afraid to take a stand. And hopefully that's changing. And hopefully that these representatives and senators are hearing this when they go home.
Isn't it amazing that that, you know, now, you know, for 100 years, nobody's ever cared about the middle class. But now, because there's a lot of things going on and people are starting to worry about their job because Trump's a little bit of a wild card, everybody comes out. Well, we want to take care of the middle class. Where were you 5 years ago? Where were you 8 years ago? Where were you 10 years ago to take care of the middle class instead of draining us out of every dime that we have? I mean, what do you think about all that?
Well, I remember during the 1992 election, so this is when Bill Clinton was first elected, talking about the middle class. And I remember there was this debate about, well, what is the middle class? Is it 60,000 a year? Is it 100? Is it, you know, and nobody ever really gave a definition, but it was like this kind of popular thing to say with no really details. Well, look what has happened to the middle class since that election. I mean, it's just been decimated. I mean, we had NAFTA. That was the Bill Clinton thing. You know, we've had technology that's come in. That, I think, has hurt the middle class as well. There's, you know, education costs have soared. I mean, we've just really, the middle class has just been absolutely screwed since the early 90s. And so they've showed their voting power in this last election, and, you know, hopefully things will change for them. We need a middle class. It's a sign of a healthy country.
Well, middle class, listen, the middle, everybody needs a middle class, because without them, you got nothing. You got no economy, because they're the spenders.
What do we have? We have poor people, and we have super rich. I mean, that's like, you know, some kind of fiefdom or something. I mean, we can't have that kind of stuff. So we need a strong middle class. We need to help small businesses. We need to make it easier for people to have businesses, start things. I don't understand why this is so difficult, but apparently it is.
Like Lila Max Media. We got to keep building a bunch of little Lila Max Medias around, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we're growing. I mean, it's hard work, but it's happening.
I mean, it's small business. That's, you know, it takes time. And what did you take away from this whole Equifax deal? I mean, what did you take away? 143 million Social Security numbers possibly compromised? What did you think of all that crap?
Well, did you hear what their username and password was? Admin. I mean, like, that's like your default generic username and password. I'm like, come on. I mean, this is like, they you know, it's a totally preventable situation. They just didn't take it seriously. And I don't know, again, what will it take? I mean, after you've seen Sony and Target and Home Depot, I mean, after you've seen so many hacks out there, for them not to even have a username and password that is somewhat, you know, complicated and it's changed often. I mean, it's just, they almost kind of deserve it, even though the poor Americans didn't.
You know, it's funny when you talk about passwords. You know, you get Bitcoin, like if you deal in some of these cryptocurrencies, you have a password that is unrecoverable. It's like extremely complicated. And then if you lose it, you're out of luck. There's no way to recover the password. I mean, that's a little bit the other side of the deal, but I think that's pretty interesting when you talk about it, because how could a company who's got all the records, you know, we as citizens, we depend on them to report correctly. And of course they make a lot of mistakes anyways, but without them, you can't get a loan, you can't get anything. And to me, how can they made such a disastrous error? What do you think about that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, how many of us have used Equifax? I mean, when we're getting a credit card or a home loan, I mean, so much of our information is exposed with them. I mean, not only do they just get one credit card number, they get like, you know, eight or whatever, every account we have. So it's totally dangerous. It was irresponsible. And I think there's going to be a wider investigation in Washington on what happened there.
I think there ought to be an investigation of Washington in general. I think we ought to chop it off, get rid of the District of Columbia. So what's give us some anything going on with the financial literacy program?
Well, we're ramping back up this month. So we recorded a whole bunch of shows in July and took a break in August. And so we're going to have a bunch of really interesting stuff coming up in September. There's some interesting books out, some studies. And so, yeah, when we get those all done and in the can, I'll let you know.
Jane King, you are awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for being here.
Awesome. Thank you, Todd.
That's our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. And always love having Jane on. She does such a good job. And, you know, she's in the industry and she understands it. And she's one of the few that won't give you the crud. And, of course, the show today is brought to you by BarkBox.com. You know, you want to take care of your dog, and you got to do that. They're your best friend, right? Make sure you get their package. And, of course, they send dog treats and dog toys that are the real McCoy, not the ones that they ripped apart and are broken in one day. But monthly, and you get a free month, you go to getBarkBox.com/TheBubbaShow. Again, that's getBarkBox.com/TheBubbaShow. It's good from BarkBox and take care of your pooch. In the meantime, LibertyTalk.fm allows you to download The Bubba Show every single day. And make sure you do that and help a brother out. And, of course, the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And we're going to step out here for a break and be back with the man who survived the Irma, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. This is the Bubba Show Top of Arts. We'll be right back with Matt. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our guy who survived Hurricane Irma and or whatever it was, trauma, whatever it was big. And he's back, and he regrets missing a week. But what are you going to do? He was running away from the storm. It's Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Matt, glad to have you back, man. Glad you survived, baby.
Todd, it's great to be back and not have a hurricane four, class four or whatever
It was
coming down on us.
It was ugly, but of course, interesting enough, where you were gallivanting around trying to stay away from the storm, you had the markets had their biggest up week of the year. What'd you make of all that stuff?
I don't know. Monday, I don't know if that was like a relief rally or something. That does. I don't know if there was anything built into economically about the storm. I don't know that there would be. I know Houston had so much damage. Maybe people thought it would be another situation like that. I still think that the NYSE is, you know, trying to make it to our target, and so I think I think that's what it was about. It just needs to eventually get there, and then we're going to get a much bigger sell off.
Yeah, and of course we had new highs in the Dow, the S&P, and the Nasdaq, and the Russell not yet, but the Russell was, I think, the top performer last week. Correct.
Yeah, it was. It had the it had been the weakest performer. Yeah, last week was the strongest.
And what did you make of that? Is that now? Do you look at that as, I know that was one of your bearish targets, and it was working extremely well, and we expect rallies to come. Is this give you? Does it change your opinion? Or are you still looking now for a spot to sell this again?
I'm still looking to be short Russell. If it breaks above, I'm looking at IWM because it has a easier chart for me to work with. But if IWM breaks above 144.50, then it's gone. It's got a long way to run past that. But until that point, I'm still on the bearish side. I'm still shorting it.
Okay, no, it makes sense. I mean, you know, obviously it's hard to predict exact tops and bottoms, and we've had some unusual stuff which doesn't affect what you and I do, but it does show up, and of course it does change things once in a while. But in the meantime, let's just take a quick view back at copper. Last time we talked before this major storm, you said, hey, before we do anything, I'd tell you that we sell copper, and copper is getting hammered from where you called it. And I know that you wanted to see, you know, a little stretch more, so you maybe could sell even a little bit more. But what is your take on copper now? It has gone down pretty nicely since you called the top of it.
Yeah, I think I would, you know, we got short. I think if you were short, I would just stay short. We will still want to add, though. So if we get a pop back up to the highs, we'll re-short there. The commercials have become heavily short, and even on the very significant drop, they haven't covered any. They've maintained their same short position, so they're the smart money. I would follow what they're doing, but again, if we do get another move to the highs, we're gonna add to our position.
Okay, now what about some of the other metals? You know, gold has acted fairly well. I mean, it pitched up to, I think, 1362. The Thursday before the storm, and of course it came down a little bit, but still looks okay. Are you still a little bit bearish in here in gold, or does it have a chance to pop from here?
Well, I was looking for a 1370, so we didn't quite make it. If we get up to that level, then I'll short. But we don't have a short position on now. We did short silver, which always freaks me out because silver is such a small market. And if you can easily get, you know, a skyrocket kind of effect in silver because it's so small. But I don't right now we're just short silver. If we get up to 1370, we'll short gold. If it pushes much past that, past 1370, then I don't really see a lot of resistance until 1475. And, you know, that's, you know, obviously $100 higher. So we would stop out at just above 1370.
All right. And you know, of course, you've been helping us track Bitcoin, and that's taken a little bit of a beating. It lost about, you know, from the top, it was down as much as 40%. Now, I would assume, I mean, I would call that just some normal selling, and, you know, that we do have markets like that. And I think a little bit different in Bitcoin versus some of the other markets is it truly does trade 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we get some of these actions. What are your thoughts on Bitcoin here?
I don't think this, you know, bull market's over. I think we're going to go higher. This past few days, we got down to just below 3,000. And for me, that broke. I have an hourly chart of it that it doesn't really make that much sense, that bottom. So I wouldn't be surprised if we had one more dip down a little bit lower, say to 2,900 or 2,850. And there I would be a buyer for sure. I bought a little bit when we got down to 3,000, even though I wasn't fully happy with that level. But if we go lower, I'll buy some.
Now, does it? Let me ask you a question. This is not normally what we talk about, but does it concern you that like every day there's a new cryptocurrency popping up in the industry? Does that have any concern to you at all?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, you know, it's just dilutive to. I mean, one of these currencies is eventually going to be used as a currency. You know, you're going to use it to buy things. You know, day to day things, and none of them are really in that category yet. So, one of them will. And I still think because of network effects and the fact that Bitcoin was the first, that it's most likely to be that currency. But I think it's, you know, the dilution coming from all these other coins is a issue. And some of them have interesting characteristics, like, you know, some are more anonymous than Bitcoin is. And I think, you know, they act more like cash, you know, that nobody can trace. And I think that's, you know, that's going to be more attractive, especially to libertarian types, and of which I'm one.
Right. But, yeah. So the question would be, have you started trading any of the other ones?
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten into six other ones. And because of those different characteristics, Ether, we've talked about, because it's a good platform for these ICOs that are being done. I'll throw another one out there. Monero is the one that I think is, you know, the most anonymous. And, you know, it's such a stupid argument that you hear about, oh, that's only used for the dark web and, you know, for illicit activities. It's like, you know, and, you know, buying drugs and whatever else. It's like, that's so stupid. I mean, you hear that argument from people on mainstream media. It's like the U.S. dollar, the $20 bill is what's used most for, right, for illicit activity.
Well, and then the 100, which is why they keep changing it. You're right. I know, but it was a way for them to hide. I mean, I see that point of it, but again, I also see the overall view of what this is about. And you know, I guess the key is the blockchain that goes with it. What about BitShares? You ever screw on there at all?
No, I haven't done anything with BitShares.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the ones I was looking at. I talked to somebody about it, so I haven't done anything with it yet. But so now we look at, let's talk about currencies. And of course, the Canadian has been like unbelievable. And, you know, I can't remember last time I saw it go so crazy. What's going on with the Canadian?
I don't know. I do see the price pattern. It looks good. And I think we're going to get a pullback pretty soon in the Canadian, or if you're looking at it as dollar Canadian, the way most people chart it, I think we're going to get a rise in dollar Canadian. But I do think it's going to get a pullback soon. If we're just looking at Canadian over dollar, then I'd say about 0.84 to 0.85 is where we're looking for a short-term top.
Okay.
Should get a nice pullback from that, and that would equate to about 1.18, 1.18. 1.9 in U.S. dollar Canadian. At that point, I think we get a turn. But I think longer term, the Canadian is going to do well. So I would be looking for any severe weakness in the Canadian to be a buyer of it.
All right, and then, of course, you had said that you felt the dollar was near bottom, and we've been kind of hovering. It looks like we finally put in the bottom last week officially now, I think. And I think your euro target of 122. We made a run up, and then it started to break, and then, of course, at the end of the week, it took off again. What's your standing on the U.S. dollar and, of course, the euro currency?
Well, the dollar is a little bit less clear to me, but the euro is pretty clear. That I still feel it has to get to 122.7, 122.8. It's a very slowly rising target that should be hit. So, I'm looking for that level to be hit, and then wherever we see the dollar at that time will be a great place to buy. Right here, we're not that far off of where I expect the dollar to bottom. But
right now, I've actually called the bottom of the dollar. I mean, again, it may go higher, but I mean, it may go lower. But I think that I know you had an 89 target in your back pocket in case, and again, I understand that, but certainly I wouldn't be surprised if this was the end of it here and that we did start to move up, from here. I don't think it's going to be an immediate turn, but I do think that certainly I'd be a hell of a lot more comfortable owning it here than being short here, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, we're actually long, and I feel like we got long a little bit early, but it should be a pretty good rally once it begins. So we just have a small short long position on it, and we'll add to it on weakness. And I'm looking for 122 and the euro to be hit. Once that happens, we'll start adding on.
That would be your major confirmation. This is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, a Hurricane Irma survivor, and fortunately didn't have any major damage. So that was always good, and we're glad to have him back because we need his technical advice. And, of course, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to LiberTalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekend. And, of course, don't forget our new feature. We do a daily update video style. Podcast it every day. It's Bubba's Daily Update that ties along with Bubba's Bottom Line. We'll be right back with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our technical expert, and we missed him last week when he was gone, suffering from the Hurricane Irma, but he's here, and it's Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Matt, dollar index. Do you trade just the dollar index, or how else do you replicate when you're long the dollar? What do you use? What are your tools for that?
We use the dollar futures.
Okay.
Or we could use UUP, I suppose, for the ETF. That ETF, but
I mean that doesn't really move. I always say that's crap. That's why I was curious if there was any. If you knew anything that I didn't. I mean, again, obviously we could short the FXE, which is not great, but at least it's a big stock and it does move a little bit. So now, of course, we've got some action happening in crude oil, and crude oil had a big up week, about 3-4% last week. And, in my eyes, it's up, but I'd be a seller here. And I know that you had a higher target, like at, I think 56 or something, or 56, 80, somewhere in that neighborhood. What's your thoughts? Does it make it to your target?
Yeah, I think we're going up to the mid 50s, and that's where I want to be a short seller. I'm looking at a minimum of 53.70, and then sort of a maximum of 57.20 as of right now. The 57 figure is declining, and that lower figure is inclining. So they're, we'll see. They may hit when they both meet, but basically from 53 to 57 is where I want to short, and 57 would be the highest. But what we'll do is start layering into shorts at 53 probably.
All right, well, I'm layering in right now before 50, but that's the story for another day. So we see the bond markets have, they reached almost 158 the December 30 year, and of course now is sold off quite a bit. You had called for a sell off. Is it going to go deeper from here? Do you look for it? Because it's about 18 months ago. You said you called the top and we went straight down. What are you thinking here?
I still think it goes lower. It's one of the toughest patterns I have medium term. patterns that I look at long term. You know, we did peak. It's done. You know, it's we're in a secular bear market in bonds now, but there are competing patterns now. One that wants to bring it up not far from the highs 18 months ago, and then there's another that wants to drop it 10% further from here or more, and that's the one we're going with. I think that's the one that's looks more likely in control. So I think we're going down.
I think that makes the most logical sense. I mean, just from my opinion, I don't get it, but you know, you look at these bonds are like whack jobs, but so we've seen some action in the grain markets, and of course it looks to me, and I think you actually called this, but corn and wheat looks like they have finally bottomed after just that amazing debacle from the last USDA report, which was like down 18 out of 20 days. Now, soybeans are interesting because they've actually been up the last 5 weeks now. What's your take in the grain space?
I'm still bearish on soybeans. We got a nice pop from oversold levels. And I think it's about to reach back up to resistance here if it hasn't already. And I'm looking for soybeans to sell off. Corn still looks okay to me. I don't have a problem with corn going higher. And then wheat, I'm still relatively bullish on wheat.
Okay. Are you relatively? So does that mean you're less bullish than you were back before it went from $3.80 to $6?
Yeah, no, I'm bullish. You know, this pullback is a good thing. I mean, right, because it's now more oversold, and I think that, you know, we should it has a better shot at rallying here.
Okay. And what about now? We talked about hogs, and you were bearish on hogs, and they've really gotten creamed, and now, you know, they rolled down, and cattle is kind of stagnant to the higher. What's your take of those markets?
I'm a little more constructive on cattle, but I'm not really interested in either one from the long side. I think I'd rather be short. Cattle I wouldn't short, but hogs I think has more downside.
Oh, it does. Okay. I'm pretty close to thinking that we're near a bottom here, but again, that's, you know, your work is good, and I can't argue with it.
Now, this would not be a high conviction trade.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah.
No, I get it. I mean, look, you know, you say it when you're ready, you'll call it. And obviously you didn't call it. So now, of course, I save this for the end. But so volatility is obviously disappearing. But I found one thing interesting last week with the indexes making new highs. The VIX did not make new lows. I thought that was kind of interesting. But I know that a lot of the pros and a lot of the, I guess, the commitment of Treasury reporters is showing that even though they might have sold some futures, that there's still a demand out there. And I guess, you know, because they're so inexpensive here, it's like kind of hard not to be buying volatility futures here. What's your take of that those markets?
Well, they do have a pretty big volatility futures position, long position. So, you know, they wouldn't be holding on to such a large position if they didn't see it eventually happening. But they are taking, you know, they've been taking beatings for a year, which I've never seen before. I've never really seen them hold on to this many VIX futures and just really not get the sell-off they were looking for. So the sell-off in markets and the pop in volatility they were looking for. Same thing with the options market on the VIX European options. They're showing that, you know, they're still, you know, much bigger premiums on call options for the VIX. So they're still looking for higher volatility. It's just priced too cheap. And I think they'll get it soon. I mean, it's looking for a market top in the NYSE. I think it's getting close to a significant top, which I have as 12,178 as of today. And we reach that, and then I think we get a good sell off, and at least a minor pop in VIX.
Yeah, I mean it's amazing, but I mean it is. I do like the fact that it did not make a new low when everything else was making a new high. So that seems to be okay. Now, you know, as we look here, And of course, we were winding into, you know, getting ready for the fourth quarter, and you know, everybody talks about how weak September is. And do you see some action coming back into the market? Are your charts indicating that we might see some volume and come back into this market, or does it look like it's going to be still quiet for a while? I know you don't follow volume that much, but just generally, what do the patterns look like?
Well, we're really at some interesting turning points in a bunch of markets. So the Nikkei just got to a peak, or close to a peak, I think. And we'll know if it's right. My line right now is right around 20,000 in the Nikkei, and we're just about at that level. So that looks like it's peaking out. China looks like it's peaking out. Euro Stoxx 50, which I like to follow, it's at a critical resistance line, and it's on either side of it. I'm not sure if it broke it already or not. I think it's still more likely underneath. So they all look to be at significant turning points. So yeah, I would think that we're going to get some interesting action soon.
Would you think that your rally in the NYA, it's the NYSE, but it's on my machine is NYA. Yeah. So would you say that maybe the final rally in that would culminate with the top in all markets, and that could be the end if everything kind of coincides together there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's the broadest measure of, you know, the U.S. stock market, right? So I think that's what we're looking at. You know, the S&P, the Dow, they might diverge for a little bit. You know, because we don't have to get a sell off that's, you know, sharp right away, just because we peak. But yeah, I'm thinking broad equities are going to take a dip. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I listen. We could sit in consolidation for, you know, it looked like we had peaked a few weeks ago, and we really just kind of consolidated towards the upper end of the range, and then turned around. So again, that just because it hits the position doesn't mean it's going to reverse immediately. We just both expect it to reverse longer term, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think we both are looking for, you know, a little bit of, you know, more. If it's yin and yang, we're not getting any yang, you know.
We're getting yang, but fortunately, Matt Demeter, DemeResearch.com, you survived Hurricane Irma or tropical. What do they call it? Hurricane or tropical storm? I don't remember anymore.
It was a hurricane. It was a Category 4.
A Category 4, but yeah. You survived. You didn't have to bolt out. You didn't, and you were able to stay in business. So great to have you on, and you are the expert, the technical expert on the Bubba Show. We appreciate you every week. Thank you so much.
I always appreciate being here. Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And just for you sports bettors, the boys on the Sporting Edge are 15-1 in college football right now. They're laying it out pretty good, and their only loss is Tennessee. So we'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Let this old world just spin.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.